Joey.
Good luck,
God
Jake.
Save us.
Thought of a bit. Shit.
No, well, here's what we'll do. You just talk normal, but I will occasionally like just throw in some early 2000s electric guitar nice. To show how we've nice. Really amped things up.
Yeah. Or like that time that synth music started playing under Trump's speech accidentally, and it was like fucking amazing.
I missed that one. I'll have to look for that later.
Oh my god, dude. It is. Oh boy. Really, it's great.
Hello, and welcome to A Star to Steer By, a Star Trek podcast.
Upsettingly, I heard that through the walls before it hit me in the ears.
To quote whichever Flanders boy, my freaking ears.
Anyway, continuing.
Oh, God, no, you gotta bring it down just a little.
Still terrible, Jim.
If you can.
Nope, this is how I do now.
All right. Oh, God.
This is me now.
If it wasn't obvious already, everyone, we're remote, so we're all wearing headphones.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to drive home how America...
Rock, flag, and eagle.
Rock, flag, and eagle.
What is that?
Do you got faith of the heart? Because if you do, you should join America's army. An army of one. And also a lot of people. But also an army of one. Which is not really an army, it's just a guy, but it's an army, so it's... I don't know where this slogan came from. It's kind of bullshit. Anyway, do you like killing aliens? Like the Zindi? Well, you're gonna like Star Trek, because that's what we're doing for the rest of the show. Okay, anyway. Hate. Fueled. Rage. Yes. Destruction. Here we go. It's the 9/11 season of... Star Trek Enterprise has begun. Anyway, this is Star to See Her by Star Trek Podcast. This is your host, Admiral Jake, and...
Conscientious Objector Chris.
Oh, boy, I don't want to. This is Ames.
This is Caitlin.
Hoorah! Well, soldiers, today in... Star Trek Enterprise, we are... And actually, it is officially Star Trek Enterprise now, by the way. Actually,
oh, that's
until,
right. No, next halfway, episode.
Not until halfway through today's episode.
We're yeah, so it's still, Enterprise. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway. We open up. We're watching two episodes this week. We're watching The Expanse and The Zindi. And this will straddle the border. The border. We're attacking the border. We're straddling that border between seasons two
Jake?
And three of Enterprise.
Jake, you've descended from like Ura to
Alex
WWF
Jones.
Like promo. Like, oh, I'm gonna squish Hulk Hogan's head with my thighs.
We're the cream of the crop. Yep. Do you,
I stick by Alex like, Jones.
That works
you
too.
You like gladiator movies?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Okay, this voice is starting to kill my throat. So I'm
yeah, I would think so. Oh, my goodness.
All right, yeah, so we're talking about Star Trek Enterprise, Season 2, final episode, The Expanse. And what happens, you ask? Oh, well, you shouldn't have, because what happens is a orb of some kind appears in space, and then a beam of radiation something shoots out of it and fires a massive laser beam and just slices, does a good old circumcision on Florida.
I was thinking the same thing. Finally,
and,
take that, Florida.
And then, it cuts a nice swath down through Cuba and keeps on going. And then when it's done with its job, it just blows up. So anyway, that happens. That's our teaser. Back on Enterprise, we're all hanging out. Can't remember what the fuck we were doing. Something stupid, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we get a phone call, and it's Admiral Forrest, and he says to Archer, he says, hey, Archie, boy, some shit's gone down. There's been an attack. We don't know much about it, but we need you to come home because we're under attack, and we need all hands on deck. So that's what they do. They go home. Trip, as you'll remember, is from Florida, so he's a little bummed out about this, also because his sister lives there still. Unfortunate.
Well, did.
Yeah, well, you know. So, yeah. We come back to Earth, we find out... Oh, on our way back, we get visited by our old friends, the
Oh, the Suliban.
The ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future.
The like, shadow
like,
kick.
Hey, you haven't seen us almost all season. Wouldn't you like to catch up?
Not no. really.
And well, Archer's an like, no, I don't. So we go into the funky time room, which is, again, no longer funky. It's just the regular time room now. And we talk to Time Daddy, and he's like, hey, Archie boy, have I got news for you? Listen,
Time Daddy.
Those people that attacked your planet there, they weren't us, but they were from the future, or kinda. They're a species called the Zindi. Which,
here's their address.
And you gotta go, you know, and because some other bozos from the future told them that Earth was gonna destroy them in 400 years, so you have to go and convince them that Earth isn't actually a threat or something.
Or kill them now, maybe? That might be.
Or just kill, yeah, just do a preemptive killing on them before they can kill you, something.
Why is Time Daddy telling us any of this?
Because a rival of his faction is behind it. So he's like trying to give them a bloody nose. Who the fuck knows, okay? It's stupid time shit, doesn't matter. It's just a way for Archer to get the information that the Zindis are the ones responsible. So anyway, Archer's like, okay, thanks, Time Daddy. And then we continue our way back to Earth. And oh, by the way, we have to tie up other loose ends from this season.
Oh my God.
So
right.
We're going to have a completely irrelevant B plot with Doras.
Woohoo!
Coming after us to settle the score with Archer because, you know, he was dishonored and everything. So we get attacked by Doras, which
still
is.
Still has a ship.
Yeah, barely an inconvenience though, because he attacks us right in front of Earth.
Yeah.
Like yeah, literally a stone's throw from Earth. And like three other ships just show up and kick his ass. So
for real though, what a fucking maroon.
You know, Duras. Okay, so we get back to Earth. We do a little shore leave. You know, Trip and Reed go to visit the hole where his sister once was.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Not the best shore leave.
Better anyway, than the time they were stripped and almost naked and kidnapped. Or
that's true. That's pretty good too. Good times had by all. And then basically it turns out that, you know, Archer's like, hey, listen, we got to go get these Zindi. Time Daddy told me about it. We got to get these Zindis.
Time Daddy.
And Boris is like, yeah, that makes sense. And Soval's like, nope, time travel's bullshit. And Archer's like, you're a fucking asshole. So we're going to do it anyway. And that's what they do. And then Soval's like, hey, T'Pol, you're coming back to Vulcan, okay? Because these humans are nuts. Can you believe they actually think time travel's real? The fucking dweebs. And T'Pol's like, oh, I kind of like time travel now too, so maybe I'll stay. And so, I don't know. She ends up quitting the Vulcans, quits, and is like,
who can blame her?
I'm gonna hang with Archer now.
Another poor choice.
Archer, yeah. T'Pol and Starfleet are in a relationship, and it's complicated. So, anywho, that's what we're doing. We're going to go, but to get to the Zindi, we have to go to this place called the Typhon Expanse. No, the Delphic Expanse, which is another expanse. There's many expanses in space, guys.
So many.
There's like space out there.
And that's basically it. We head out to these.
What about Duras?
That's right.
The most important part of the plot.
So yeah, Duras, we gave Duras a bloody nose in the beginning, but right as we get to the expanse, which apparently is just a giant space cloud, or at least that's how it looks. I don't think they knew what they were going to do when they made this episode. So
they're just kind of winging it.
It's an expanse. Make it look like a cloud. That makes sense. So yeah, that's what they end up doing is they get to the space cloud and Duras pops up right then and there. It took 7 weeks to get here, but Duras was waiting. He knew it was up. And then drawing on his learnings from Star Fox 64.
He did a barrel roll? Did he do a barrel roll?
He didn't do a barrel roll. He did the loop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did he use the boost to chase?
Yes. Yeah,
does Duras have 3D thinking?
No, he does not. But Peppy Hare would be proud as Archer did the whole thing where he flew into a cloud, did a loop up. And then when Duras came out the other side of the cloud, he's like, which way did they go? Which way did they go? And then Archer came in from behind and gave him one right up the old
poop chute.
Cloaca.
Yes,
cloaca.
Yeah, it would have a cloaca, wouldn't it?
It would.
A cloaca of prey.
And we destroy. We end the Klingon plot.
There'll be no more Duras in anywhere in space.
He has successfully ended the Duras line.
Thank goodness.
If only.
Oh, this is rough.
Yeah, it's like I get it as a let's set up so that the show feels like it has a
point.
Someone has something that it can be building on. Like that, I think. And this is me not knowing yet what else is really in store for us in season three. But I understand the desire to want to like have a storyline to build your season on. That's a good idea, considering so far Enterprise has been very aimless and meandering. This episode is basically a series of tiny, tiny scenes to try to add up into one episode.
Imagine if these fucking writers had actually spent the whole first season prepping to go to space. They couldn't do a fucking single episode that was prepping to go on a mission without it being fucking dull as shit.
It was disjointed. Like, every couple of scenes, it was here's Archer talking to Soval. Here's Trip talking to Reed. They all just felt like tiny little individual scenes that didn't fit at all together.
Nope.
Yeah, and then you have like the bolt-on Duras plot, which is like literally just there because they're like, shit, we should really tie this loose end up.
I think it's because otherwise there's no action.
Yeah, and we don't want to carry this thread into the next season because we're going to be doing something new. So let's just wrap up the thread.
No, we didn't. No one would have missed it. You could have just pretended it never happened.
Yeah, but otherwise this episode would just be talking. Nothing but talking. And that's terrible.
And the writers of this show aren't good enough to do a just talking episode. There have been some great just talking episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, Waltz.
But not Enterprise.
Well, maybe that's because Enterprise is, as Jake pointed out, not yet actually Star Trek.
Yeah, next week.
Maybe it's going to improve.
As Jake...
Poor
Caitlin. As Jake pointed out, this is fucking Star Trek decides to do 9/11. So that's great.
So 9/11 was an inside job.
It was jerks from the future fucking around.
Well, yeah, they better be about to find out.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, which I continue to not understand because I don't understand Shadow Man's need for any of the things he does. Like, what is his motivation ever?
So here's what's up. I'm going to tell you what's up.
Tell me, because I would rather Shadow Man fix his own fucking problems.
Himself. So here's the thing, right? So Shadow Man is from the future and they're in the Temporal Cold War with other factions from the future. And the Temporal Cold War is fought in the past from their perspective.
Right.
So the idea is that this other faction figured out that in order to fuck over Shadow Man's faction, if they destroy Earth in the past, then that will really fuck things up for Shadow Man and company. And be
why
good.
Is Earth important to Shadow Man?
We don't know because okay. it's like fucking Red Foreman with the wavy lines.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
No, wait.
Year of Hell.
Year of Hell.
Year of
right?
Hell. Thank you.
Yeah, because you change something in the past and it's gonna ripple. So evidently Earth is important and the destruction of Earth is bad for Shadow Man. So even though Shadow Man likes fucking with Archer and doing bad shit to Earth, he doesn't want them to go away completely. So anyway, this alternate faction is like, huh, we can convince these Zindi bozos to go and destroy Earth for us. And that will really fuck up Shadow Man.
And the Zindi's response is send a probe for reasons to take a slice off of Florida.
Right.
And how does that help them?
That is the stupidest thing about this whole plot is that
yeah.
If you're building a doomsday device that's going to destroy a planet, you don't make your test version of it and send it to that same planet
to warn
them about your doomsday device.
I don't know, Jake. That sounds like exactly what you would do. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's pretty Bond villainy.
Are the Zindi the whale people? Are these the same probes?
No.
There are Zindi whale people, but not those, not the whale people you're thinking of.
Game.
But yeah, the fact that the Zindi, like, why wouldn't they just test their probe on some other desolate planet somewhere?
Yeah. Does it have to be completely lifeless? No, we don't care.
I was about to say that, damn it.
I was also thinking it, though.
No, just destroy literally, your own moon. Who cares? Like,
your own moon.
Yeah, there's
your,
just
your own moon might be somewhat ill-advised if it has any.
It knows what it did.
There's so many lifeless rocks out there you could have shot.
Yeah, even some lifeless rocks.
Yeah. Also, you know, as Jake pointed out, they obsess over Florida. Cuba got hit too.
Yeah, didn't they say it reached Venezuela? Even though I'm not sure. Yeah.
Did they?
Oh wow. I don't think we...
Yeah, but you know, Cuba's full of communists.
Well, we don't know where Venezuela is in the 22nd century. It could be.
They've actually
Venezuela could have finally taken over Colombia, and
you know what's crazy is
that is not under
all
Florida either.
Not all species keep their Venezuela in the same place. FYI,
all of South America.
Also, I've been waiting to say this for ages now. The reason Enterprise didn't kill anyone for so long is because they knew they were eventually going to be wiping 7 million people off the face of the Earth.
They didn't know that from the
outset. Yeah, no. The Cylons have a plan. No, they don't.
It does. It is funny, though, that like we've been calling it the show where no one dies. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be a big ol'. Also, I'm pretty sure at least two engineers extras did actually bite it. In the first Duras attack, because
in the fight with Duras,
over a railing.
Yeah, like that's got to be that's a railing kill. That's Mystery Science Theater approved.
I
they
love
are
a
dead.
Railing kill.
Yep. So yeah, now they're amping up the stakes. We're maybe actually gonna see some people we've spent more than 30 seconds with die.
Really?
I don't remember.
That's how badly these actors want out of this show, huh?
Not soon enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. We all know that, you know, there's been a lot of me going like, oh, wow, this show's a lot worse than I thought it was when you watch it right after better Star Trek. Oh,
and that was season. When we were watching the good episodes, huh?
Well, this is the season I remembered not liking even when I thought the first two seasons were better. Oh. So,
man.
Oh, dear.
That's going to suck because so far it's like I want to give them the benefit of the doubt because I see what they're doing. And it's like, okay, I get why you're doing something, which is better than nothing. But I know it's probably going to be goddamn awful. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I was wrong. Maybe the season's better than I thought, but I'm worried.
Well, I wasn't worried, and now I am.
Well, what else happened?
Individual things.
Well, yeah, so let's just run down a couple of them. Oh, we get to see there's a new NX-02 being built in Space Dock.
Mm-hmm. It looks nasty. Love it.
Yeah, 14 months before it'll be in space. But yeah, which seems to be like they should have just started earlier and they'd already have a second ship by now.
Well, they had to, you know, make sure that the first one worked.
That's how little confidence they had in their design. They're like,
or Archer.
Blow apart.
Let's see if he gets killed. He's still around. Yeah. Man.
God damn it.
Well, it's sad because, you know, so I noticed that it's called the Columbia.
Oh, they've already named her?
I think they did.
It's in my notes, so it's either just on memory alpha or they've named her.
I mean, I know it's called the Columbia.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't can't remember if they said it on screen or not. Yeah, I was a little disappointed though. I think they should have called it the Keith Carradine character.
A.G. Robinson.
The Robinson.
Yeah. Well,
he's still alive.
He was supposed to be the captain. Of the NX-02.
Well, he was still alive when they started building it, so.
Yeah, you're rechristening it. It's not even built yet.
He's got that cloud named after him now.
Yeah, he's got a cloud. Yeah. He's fine. One scene that I still am not entirely sure, like, what the significance really is we send in this Vulcan Dr. Ferrat, ostensibly to check Archer for pyritic radiation exposure.
Yeah.
But he's But he's really there to, like, check if Archer is fucking insane. And Phlox figures this out and just starts screaming at him.
Being fair, like, for once, Phlox has a point. Like, you don't come in under false pretenses to a goddamn medical exam.
It just seems like such a not Vulcan way to handle this. Like,
this is a Soval way of handling things.
Yeah, he's a... Like, that's the thing. Archer is often wrong, but maybe not the Vulcans suck, but Soval does kind of suck. He's kind of a piece of shit.
Well, Soval brings up a lot of good points, and the thing is, I don't think any of them are going to pay off because this show is garbage.
Yeah.
Like, he brings up that, so this Vulcan ship went into the Delphic Expanse, the Vancora, and the people all went insane and murdered each other.
Oh, that video was terrifying.
Yeah, it was some Event Horizon style bullshit. This is the Vulcan Event Horizon show. and wow. Mm-hmm. And also they mentioned, like, you know, a Klingon ship went in there, I believe, and they all turned inside out and exploded.
I thought they were going to show us. I was kind of freaked out briefly.
Yeah, but then we get to the Delphic Expanse, we go in, and nothing. No problems. Yeah.
Literally nothing.
I'm certain nothing like this is going to come up. No one is going to turn inside out.
And explode.
If this show proves me wrong, I will be so fucking
I don't know if we'll have people turning inside out, but we are going to find some weird shit.
Okay, I look forward to weird shit, because right now it's like, it seems like such a letdown that Soval is like, I'm actually doing this to protect you, Archer. You will go in there and get killed, but more importantly, get T'Pol killed, and we like her. But don't go in there, because we've checked, and it's bad.
So, the thing is, Soval is dogmatic, and he truly believes that time travel is bullshit. He does not believe it's real. So
he also, would believe Archer? He's a
when
moron.
Archer says, "Space Time Daddy came and told me to go kill these Zindis."
He sounds insane.
He sounds insane.
Oh yeah, it does sound crazy.
They shouldn't have bothered with the ruse. They should have just sent in a Vulcan psychologist.
Yeah, because, like, from Saval's perspective, that's absolutely insane on multiple levels. So if he could get proof that Archer is insane, clinically insane, that would probably convince Starfleet to cancel this mission.
Oh, wait, but the proof. Oh, I forgot about the scene until right now, even though it's probably in my
God.
Notes.
Oh, God. I was going to bring that proof. Up.
So Archer has a quantum dating device, which is lamer than it sounds, that he waves at, you know, remnants of the probe and says, oh, this part here says it's negative 420 years old, which isn't a fucking thing. Son of a fucking bitch.
It's like, you could have just said its quantum signature is temporally inconsistent with this period. Which is also stupid, but less stupid, because they said shit like that before in Star Trek. Like, they've done, like, oh yeah, when something's from a different time, quantum.
But
to actually say it is literally negative weed years old.
Yeah, and then Soval says, again, like, these things shouldn't even be able to register in the negative.
Yeah.
Then why can it?
See, really what should have happened then is it should have registered as being, you know, 600 or however many hundred years older. That would have made more sense. Because, like, you could say, okay, our quantum dating device dates things from the Big Bang. And it's very accurate. It can get down to the year.
Sure.
So we can know exactly the year. And so, like, everything in the universe should be the exact same age, because all matter was created in the Big Bang. But these parts of the alien spaceship are inexplicably 600 years older than everything else in the universe, because they came from the future.
There's actually, again, I mentioned Mystery Science Theater earlier. The Raylene kills, of course, are from Space Mutiny. Woo. But there's another one. I forget what the movie was. It's some 50s thing. And clearly, like, carbon dating had just, like, must have, like, just become, like, public consciousness or something. Because in the movie, someone is somehow retrieving artifacts from the future using a box or something.
Neat.
But they're like, yes, look, we've carbon dated it, and it's from the future. It's like, that is not how carbon dating works, friend. Really, and that's all I could think of with his fucking minus 420 fucking... Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, yeah, like, but 420, nice, huh?
Can't even... like, no,
69 is nice.
But 420 is also nice.
It's just, they can't even techno babble right on this fucking show.
Yeah. Yeah. It should have literally been a inconclusive or something, or the machine just turns off and explodes, or
it's returning an error or something.
Terror from the Year 5000 was the film.
Ooh, that does sound like a good one.
Oh, what else is dumb? Why, aside from because she's part of the show, is T'Pol like, no, I'm going to go with them?
She has a death wish.
She still wants
to fuck
Reed. Fox.
Ugh. Oh, ew. Ah, no. Ooh, ah.
No. You asked.
Like, again, I get it. It's reality interfering with fiction, but, like, fucking find a reason better than just, eh.
I mean, we could say that it's also possibly that she will likely face consequences on Vulcan for the mind meld shit, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, she like still maybe, has like, Ponar syndrome.
I know. She's like, that's like, she knows that that's going to come back at some point and bite her, but
well, yeah. Not if the writers have anything to say about it.
Like, just, being just... on Enterprise has been the only thing that's kind of kept her out of trouble with respect to that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good reason, but I'm glad they didn't bring it up, because I don't see these writers handling that with any kind of class or subtlety.
Well, they failed the first time, so...
True. Oh, you know, I'm going to go with that for headcanon. There it is. That's why she's there. Why not? Sure. Fuck it. Hey, since we're keeping track, Mayweather had a couple lines. He got to do the loop-the-loop. Good for him.
Yeah, he did a barrel roll. He's great.
Did Hoshi do anything other than say Archer's been on the phone 12 times?
I have a note. So this episode somehow ended up running 10 minutes long, and they have a whole bunch of cut scenes. Even though, like, all the little scenes, like, every scene that's, like, 30 seconds long, all seem like just scraps of paper that you threw into a confetti shredder. But here's a one deleted scene that they cut was a scene between Archer and Hoshi. Because, you know, as we're on Earth, and Archer is saying, like, oh, yeah, some people may not come back and go with us into the Delphic Expanse, because we'll probably die in there. And, if they want to leave, I accept. They can do that. And he goes to Hoshi expecting that she's going to fucking leave because, you know, she's a linguist. She's going to go home and do linguist shit. This isn't her world.
No.
And he walks in and she's like packing shit. And he's like, oh, you're leaving, huh? And she's like, no. Why would you think that? And that's the scene. She says, no, I'm going to stay.
Yeah, I wish that maybe they could have spent some time on that. On the crew making decisions.
Would you just cut the Duras shit or what?
Well, I don't know. Then the episode would have been just super boring, but...
I would argue that the stuff with Duras didn't make it any more interesting,
true. I agree. There was that whole bit in Voyager when people were deciding whether or not to stay on...
Oh, 37.
The 37's planet. And, I remember complaining then that it never really felt like anybody... Like, there was any... Like, they made a big deal in that episode about how people are going to making decisions, and then they walk in the empty bay, and it's like, everyone stayed.
And again, if anyone you think, is not going to want to go on this mission, it's Hoshi. So it would have been nice if she'd had a scene where she is like, no, I'm going to stay for... That's the thing. It wouldn't have come up with a good reason.
No. But at least, freak us, fake us out a little bit, right? Freak us out a little bit. But, I don't know, maybe, Mayweather's thinking about going back to... the horizon.
Yeah.
Right? Because we talked, that came up a couple weeks ago. Maybe she's thinking about going back to her
university school, job.
University job.
Yeah.
Maybe, Phlox is thinking about off doing something else. And
Phlox is definitely going. There could be all kinds of alien celery for him to steal off of plates. Yes.
Well, you could have made this whole thing where Phlox puts in his resignation because he's not actually in Starfleet, but he goes to Archer and he's like, Captain, I've decided to leave Enterprise. And they're like, well, we're going to have to find a new doctor. And then he has some conversation with T'Pol or somebody. And then we later have that same scene where T'Pol's like, I noticed that there were all these stupid crickets on the being shipped to the ship. And Phlox is like, I guess I changed my mind.
That's a pretty
good Phlox impression.
Yeah.
and that's what gets T'Pol to make her decision as well,
because she still wants to fuck him.
Yes. Well, no. I like my idea with T'Pol staying is that she's become more human throughout this experience, and she's come to value the people on the ship and the spirit of exploration. That she previously was like, wank. But now she's actually picked up on some of that. And that's where she decides to stay. And I think that was the idea that they were going for, but they don't do a good job of explaining that in the show.
Oh, God, no.
If they had shown people struggling with the decision of whether to stay or go, it might have given more weight to T'Pol deciding to stay.
Yeah.
Because it was not a surprise. Nobody watching the show was like, oh, I can't believe she changed her mind and they don't have to go to Vulcan. Oh, my God. The only one who was surprised was Mayweather. And that's just because they didn't give the actor the script to the episode. He was just improvising the whole time.
Yeah, you sit there and pull a button every couple of minutes.
Their budgets are what they are. They're saving on the printing costs. Okay. Nothing personal.
Poor Mayweather.
Fucking, I loved, like, you brought it up, Jake, but, like, fucking Doras goes to the Sol system after Archer and is surprised when Earth ships show up. Dumbest fucking family in the Empire. Like,
how did his fucking line succeed as much as they did?
The House of Moog should be super embarrassed.
I mean, here's the thing, too, though. Like, by the time of the 24th century, we're led to believe that the great Klingon houses have armadas at their disposal. Because, like, in the Civil War, it wasn't like Duras family had a ship. They had a fucking fleet.
Yeah.
They had other fleets of ships from other families. You know, like medieval retinues or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So why is Duras in this time period just tooling around on one rinky-dink ship?
Well, didn't he maybe have a bunch that went to the Expanse with them and they just chickened out and went home? Am I making sense?
Well, he had two, at least.
Okay, that's
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, we saw a couple. Yeah, I don't know why they fucked off.
They were afraid of the Expanse.
Didn't want to turn inside out and explode.
It wasn't a good day to die.
For all we know, this Doras is a particularly shitty, even by Doras standards, Doras. Like, there are other siblings out there who are somewhat better, and that's why he only had, like, a few people with him or something. I don't fucking know.
Maybe it's not the same Doras family. Maybe it's not even, maybe Doras is his first name. He's like Doras of House Pyle, son of Gomer.
Wait, I think that's the other thing about this episode that I'm still trying to piece together is how long things took. Because, you know, it's took, what, weeks or however long to upgrade the Enterprise so it has better phasers and shit that Reed...
And photonic torpedoes.
Reed gets very excited over. So that takes several weeks. They're traveling to the Expanse for at least 7 weeks. And this whole time, Duras has just been camping out and then, like, following behind?
I guess. Just out of sensor range, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, on those photonic torpedoes. Now, we first heard about these when they were on that Klingon ship that was slowly sinking into the gas giant.
Oh, and sleeping dogs.
Mm. Yeah. Reed saw something about photonic torpedoes.
And was
on
instantly
like a,
erect.
And was instantly erect.
Oh, yeah.
Would it have been really interesting if they had, like, made that, brought that back in some way to be like, oh, we reverse engineered the technology that we stole from the Klingons.
Yeah.
Didn't come up, though.
No, instead it has to be headcanon instead.
Yeah. God forbid you bring up something from a past episode that happened.
Guys, well, what do you want? We already got Duras. What else do you want them to try to remember? I mean,
Even if one of the Klingons were like, wait a minute, since when do they have photon torpedoes?
Aww.
Are we still flying around with the Suliban cell?
Probably.
Fucking knows. I mean, for that matter, it's in this episode, The Expanse, that we say, oh, we're going to bring all these Makos officers on board. We don't see them at all in this episode for some reason. No. So
they needed that season 3 budget to actually get those extras.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And they got Daniel Day-Kim, though.
We'll see. Yeah,
it's funny. When I mentioned he should have been one of Archer's competitors in First Flight, I completely forgot he showed up in Enterprise as a Mako.
Ah, cute.
So
he showed up in Voyager, right? Or am I making
Yeah, he was the time boy.
The time.
Yeah, yeah.
Blink of an eye.
Good. I liked him.
He's a good one.
Anyway, that's
speaking of the Makos, let's just fucking talk about the next one.
Is fucking Martok in this again?
No.
Oh, that's not Martok?
Oh.
As
in the guy that like fucks them over with the Zinti and the liquid platinum, which I definitely thought they
said. No, that is someone else entirely.
Else important.
Oh, and he looks great.
Never, ever would have picked it up. I just looked him up and I was like, no fucking way is that the same fucking man.
So who?
Tell
You'll
us.
Find out.
Zinti.
Let's talk about it. So we've ended season 2 of Star Trek of Enterprise, and now we begin season 3 / what, the first season, I guess, of Star Trek Enterprise. We've updated our intro song. We're now hip, and
it's somehow worse.
It's somehow worse, but
I
different.
Would have to listen to them both side by side to decide which is worse, and I really don't want to do that.
It's up on our Tumblr. You guys forget that it's up on the Tumblr where we did rank which one is worse, and I believe Chris and I say this one is worse, and you and Jake said the seasons 1 and 2 is worse.
I wonder how much, like, split just decision. I wonder how much the poor fucking nerds of 2000 whatever were like, you know, oh man, I heard they're changing the theme, and everyone was really excited, like, yes, they're gonna drop that garbage song and just have a normal fucking, nope, they just took the fucking garbage song. Oh god, I'm sorry, go on, Jake. This is the fucking show.
Well, so anyway, so this, so we're basically picking up where we left off in the last episode, and we are in the expanse. We're still looking for these Zindis. Oh, but we're going to get a little scene with the Zindis, and they are some weird bunch of folks. It's like a little conference, and there's some that look kind of like simian, I guess. There's some that look like humans. There's some that look like whales.
More like dugongs.
Some that look like lizards, and there's some that look like Jeff Goldblum.
I was gonna say that.
But what we're led to understand is that there are that the Zindi are kind of like a federation of related species, like the humans and the Neanderthals. Except where the humans and Neanderthals were basically the same, these ones are all fucking crazy different things.
What does the Don't Chase ask. Have to say about this?
Yeah, this is the Chase shit right here.
It's the one planet they missed.
Yeah, somebody fucked up. Somebody was doing a lot of banging on this shit, on this planet, and they were like, if
Sargon,
it fits,
definitely.
It sits. So yeah, we learned that the Zindi, they've been keeping tabs on our friend's Enterprise, and they're like, huh, the Earth people, these vicious Earth people have sent one tiny rinky-dink ship? Oh, it must be the vanguard of an entire fleet! The mighty Earthlings are coming to destroy us! Well, why did they send this one? Oh, whatever. We must destroy! So yeah, they're having their, like, evil council meeting, and they're all like, yes, we must destroy the Earthlings. Okay, well, let's go destroy the one rinky-dink ship. No! We must let them continue for no reason.
Most council meetings are like this.
I think the bugs kind of got it right. I'm on their side so far.
Yeah, let's just destroy.
Zindi Zorak for president.
Ooh, I like him.
And I like the bugs makeup. And all I want to say is if they lose an Emmy for great makeup to fucking Jiminy Glick again.
The bugs are CG.
The bugs.
Did you mean the reptile ones?
No, I meant the bug. The bug is CG.
Yep.
Well, it looks pretty good considering how shitty their CG usually looks. Or maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention.
Yeah, were you watching it on your phone?
CG, the lizard people are...
their makeup.
Their makeup.
Chris, I was watching it on my phone, in fact.
And watch it on a TV.
The whale people are also CG.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit, the CG has improved, but on a TV it is, yeah.
It is clear that, oh wow, these guys were definitely not in this scene.
But yeah, the rest of them are all real. But anyway, so yeah, back on Enterprise... where Archer's yelling at people like he
a
always
lot.
Does.
What else yelling. Is fucking
he loves
new?
Yelling. So basically he's, you know, they've created this like shitty version of Voyager's astrometrics lab that they're using to map the expanse, I guess. T'Pol's got a new haircut and a new outfit.
And eyebrows.
New eyebrows.
Yeah, new brows. Yeah, she's looking all right.
I think it looks good. I hate that it's all just to make her more sexual.
But anyway, Archer's on the fucking warpath. He's screaming at Reed for no reason.
Well, like also to info dump. It's like the world's most awkward, like, dressing down slash exposition fucking... Ugh.
Fucking Reed, why haven't you solved the Zindi problem already? We've been in here for fucking weeks, you asshole. Meanwhile, like, poor T'Pol's, like, standing in the background, just kind of looking over her shoulder awkwardly, like, I'm so glad it's not me today. God damn.
Oh, no.
So anyway, Archer's on the warpath, yelling at people, being a bitch. And then we get a tip... that there's somebody spotted a Zindi working in some mines. So we're going to go to this mining planet and try to talk to him. We do this. Archer and Reed go down first, and they meet this really kind of creepy foreman guy. And then he's like, I'll let you see I'll let you talk to the Zindi. Oh, by the way, here's his finger for reasons.
He just had it ready. I love it. What an asshole.
But yeah, I'll let you talk to the Zindi guy, but you got to give me a vial of liquefied platinum. And Archer's like, that's fine, whatever. So he goes back. this time with Trip.
He's also on a warpath.
Trip, he's
handling everything super well.
Yeah, Trip's also on like kill them all mode. He just wants them all to die. So anyway, they go to this planet. They talk to the Zindi guy and he's like, I'm not helping you, or I will if you help me escape, because actually this is a fucking prison or like a slave thing. By the way, you're...
Yeah, like how did they not realize is like the most obvious thing.
Yeah, and the Zindi guy's like, oh, by the way, if you didn't, like, come prepared with an escape plan, you're also a slave now, so, And Arch is like, no, we can escape, let's escape, and then they escape, and they try to crawl through this air vent that they end up, the bad guys fill it with fire.
Oh, don't forget the poop chute.
Yeah, and they have to wander around in some poop.
A lot of poop.
A lot of poop, like waist deep in poop and piss.
Some got in all of their mouths.
Oh my god!
Totally. No. Okay, we'll get to that.
Shawshanked.
Oh no.
Anywho, so back on Enterprise, T'Pol's like, Reed, you fucking piece of shit. You gotta go rescue the fucking captain, you asshole. And Reed's like, okay. And then the Mako leader comes in and is like, Reed, you scumbag. You think you're gonna go down there and rescue the captain by yourself with your fucking pissant little fucking phasers? No, you need us in our fucking sniper rifle, asshole.
A rifle was nice.
So then Reed is just like, he's just shit on all episode long by everybody. But yeah, so the Makos and Reed end up doing a little mission down to the planet. Mayweather also there.
Right. He was the pilot. I forgot.
I forgot Mayweather was in this show.
So did the writers.
But anyway, they
so did Mayweather, probably.
They easily rescue the captain and Trip. The Zindi guy unfortunately gets shot.
I liked him.
But before he dies, he gives them the location of the Zindi's secret home world, which it turns out is just a debris field. Meanwhile, in their fucking B plot.
No.
God damn it.
Oh my god,
the B plot.
I yelled a lot.
Trip has been having recurring nightmares about his sister burning alive horribly.
Which is fair.
While wearing a great shirt. I liked Trip's shirt.
Oh yeah, he had an awesome, like really nice shirt.
Chris, I knew you were going to like that shirt.
Definitely had a bad day as she was being vaporized.
Every day's a bad day in Florida.
Oh my god, that's the episode title.
Yay!
The air is literally fire. It's another day in Florida. But anywho,
we will never have a better title than that.
He's going to Phlox and is getting, you know, melatonin or, you know, whatever, Ambien, who knows. And Phlox is like, goes to T'Pol. He's like, hey, T'Pol, I was hoping you could, instead of me treating Trip's insomnia, you know, with medicine or you know, medical techniques, like,
can I
my
foist
fucking
this
job.
On you?
How about you just give him like a sensual massage? And T'Pol's like, I don't really want to do that. And he's like, come on. And she's like, all right. So then he tricks Trip into going to T'Pol's quarters after hours, and where she's already dressed sexily.
Always.
And she's like, have a seat. And then like some like smooth jazz bass starts playing. And and then they do this fucking gross. T'Pol takes her shirt off so Trip can massage her back and make her give her a weird noise.
So she was making lots of weird cum faces. Really upsetting.
And Trip's very uncomfortable with this, so he's just trying to get the fuck out of there. And she's like, now, Commander, take off your shirt. And she says disrobe, even worse. She tells him to disrobe.
Turn your head and cough, bitch.
And then finally, after putting everyone in this really uncomfortable situation, she's finally like, oh, actually, this was all just a trick by Phlox so I could give you this special Vulcan sleep massage treatment.
Yeah, all the medication he's actually been giving you is nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think all of it has been, but certainly that day it was a placebo.
Yeah, that day's dose.
Yeah. So
because he's unethical as fuck.
So then Trip's like, well, then why did we have to make this weird and sexy for no reason?
Because
Rick Berman wrote this, obviously. And he's like, oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense. All right, well, cool. Let's just do the sleep thing instead. And that's basically the end of that.
So you did remind me of something I've meant to bring up with regards to the last episode, but it still applies here. What's kind of sad, too, is like, unlike Archer, who has just been fucking Archer the whole time, you feel like Trip was actually kind of chilling out, like getting a little more like, yeah, I'll try to have an open mind. I'm still going to be freaked out by shit real easy like, but I'll give it a second.
But hell, I was pregnant, so...
But, like, now he's just angry. And in a way, it makes his reaction, like, more tragic. Because it's like, yeah, of course. The fact that he's upset is more upsetting because you feel like this could potentially, like, make him revert. Whereas Archer just
set him back.
Still an asshole.
Yeah.
He's a bigger asshole.
Yeah.
Poor Reed. Reed is like this guy who's just like, basically everyone realizes he will never fight back because one, he's too like uptight and two, respects the chain of command too much. So they're all just going to pick on him because they know they can get away with it.
The nonstop shitting on Reed this whole episode was starting to get to me. Like Archer, it opens with Archer giving Reed shit, like a lot of shit that was seemingly undeserved. You have T'Pol not really shitting on him, but being like, get it fucking done right now. Like, just like,
yeah. Well, it's like, even in the last episode, when again, Archer always does, when something tactical related doesn't work, it's Reed's fault, you know? And like, your new torpedoes don't seem to be doing much. Like, yeah, he shifted his shields. He reacted to what we did, you ignorant fuck.
Yeah. And yet, when something goes right, somehow Archer was the cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like the Mako guy calling Reed's dick ugly. And
now, to be fair, this is what the Makos are here for.
Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This is entirely like what their purpose is. We forgot about them for weeks.
I don't see why you would want to send... Okay, you have the Starfleet security guys who are fine at, like, you know, starship security, but we need to do a fucking tactical rescue where we're going to rappel in through the ceiling on ropes.
They came out of fucking nowhere.
And we have a fucking squadron of Marines. Do we use the security bozos? Or do we use the fucking Marines? Do we use, you know, fucking Officer Friendly? Or do we use Ellen fucking Ripley? Okay? Jesus H. Christ.
I want to know what the Marines have been doing this whole time. Because, you know, it took 7 weeks to get out here to the Expanse. They've been in the Expanse now for 6 weeks, they say. So that's 13 weeks of all of these Marines just, like, what? Hanging out in the gym and pumping iron?
Probably.
This is the first episode they came out and actually talked with Hoshi. Like, I was shocked. It's like, this has been 13 weeks of traveling, and you're only now introducing yourself to these other people on your ship. What have they been up to?
They've been practicing their susmana
with the ball.
What one thing I did notice, and this is just the me being a fucking dork thing. Did you notice the patch they all have on their shoulder?
With the shark?
No, not that one. Not that that one's nice too.
Like this with the star.
They've got the what becomes the command section star on there.
Oh, that's
so like the one with the long top point. So it's like, oh, that's a cute little thing. I don't think we get a great look at the shark patch in this one. You briefly see it, I think. But yeah, I think we get a better look at some stage.
Good, because I like that. I like that detail.
Oh, so gross guy McNasty.
The foreman?
Yeah.
I loved him.
Yeah, I could not fucking believe who that was. I was like, those are two completely different characters.
Who was it?
Stephen McHattie.
Motherfucking it's a fake Vreenak.
What? Yep. That's awesome.
That was fucking Vreenak being that nasty fucking gooey.
He was so good in this.
He was really.
He was so slimy, I expected it to be Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah.
Like his grossness, his makeup was amazing. He just seemed like such an asshole, and it was perfect, and I enjoyed
and
it
his mannerisms, like you can tell he's just kind of picking at those scabs on his head.
Every time he grabs his breathing machine, like, breathing,
You know, at one point he like kind of touches one of the scabs and sniffs his fucking fingers. Like, oh, you fucking vile thing. That's amazing.
You vile thing.
Also, did anyone recognize, I didn't recognize him, but I looked him up.
Everyone, all the guests are from things. I have like the longest list. So are you referring to?
the Zindi prisoner.
Yes, that's Richard Lineback.
Yes, the drug addict that wasn't David Marcus in that one TNG episode.
Symbiosis.
Symbiosis, yeah.
Thank you.
He was great in this too. I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fun. Who else was? Because Daniel Day Kim was obvious because he wasn't under 10 tons of makeup.
Yeah, so we had Daniel Day Kim as Chang. We had, oh God, I don't think I wrote his name, but I have it lit in front of me. Romero was Marco Sanchez, who you'll remember as Munez from DS9.
Oh.
Kike.
Oh, no.
Wait,
Kike
was
in
this? Kike was briefly in this. We won't see him again.
Oh.
But he was here. He was great.
That episode is so fucking sad, dude. O'Brien cannot get a break.
Oh,
nope.
That episode's amazing. Our best Scott McDonald is one of the Zindi. He's Dolim, who my notes tell me is the reptilian one. So the one under the most makeup, which is fitting because that's Tosk.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Is that Tosk? Nice.
Whom I love.
Oh, I love Tosk.
We also have Randy Oglesby playing Degra, who was the Zindi primate, so the one that looks the most human, who was previously the scholar in Rivas's Chorus, Siller and Prin. He played Kier in, I believe it's Counterpoint. He's been a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Like everyone in this episode is something, and they're wild.
That's so cool. I love when they do that.
When you get someone who can act under a ton of fucking makeup, you keep that person.
Yes.
God, I'm so glad that Tosk was.
Yeah, yeah. Job. Oh, our friend Nathan Anderson played one of the other Makos, Kemper, and previously he was Naaman from Nemesis, the episode. One of Chakotay's brain fog friends.
Oh, okay.
He was drafted into a war.
Right, right. Yes. That was a decent episode from whatever call.
Yeah, it was a good one. I liked that one. Yeah, like. The acting in this episode is pretty good. The makeup on everybody is great.
Yeah, that's it. Like, they're at least doing some interesting stuff with character designs.
And honestly, after we complained a couple weeks ago in Judgment about how bad that penal colony looked, how bad Ruripente looked, this one looked great.
Which just makes Ruripente shitty lighting even more annoying.
Yeah, I really like this.
Well, again, though, it's probably, isn't it possible that, like, actually, like I said, that they might have just run out of, like, budget for that shit and, like, third season meant new money?
I mean, it's possible, but it just still makes it worse. You're just like, fucking guys, for crying out, fuck.
For crying out, fuck. Heard it here first, folks.
I did it. I heard it.
It is kind of neat, because, like, I don't know how much they really play with it. I genuinely don't remember. I'm not just trying to be, like, vague, but like, you know, this is the first time I think we've had a planet in Star Trek, and you don't see it much, I think, in genre fiction at all, of just like a world inhabited by multiple sentient races who have to deal with each other.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that element of the whole Zindi plot of having coexisting separate species. That's fascinating to me because we saw a tiny, tiny bit of it in Fuck Me, the one where Phlox is a genocidal maniac. Dear Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of see a little bit there. And
that's true, yeah.
Like, oh, that's interesting to me. But now we have, like, fully fledged societies of people that just kind of overlap and intermingle, and they're all, and they hate each other, and I love it.
Yeah.
There's some that have to live in a tank.
Mm-hmm.
What's not to love about these assholes?
Yeah. Oh, we did see some weird shit in The Expanse a little bit. Here with the
cargo.
Oh, that was dumb.
I loved it. Anything volatile in there? Yeah, we'd know by now, Captain. I literally said that. I was like, I'm pretty sure you'd already know.
Oh God, keep the one of them that's holding Pop Rocks and the one of them that's holding Coke away from each other.
It did just kind of feel like that was there to be like, oh, don't forget, this part of space is maybe weird, kind of. We'll see if we actually remember to follow up.
In a really dumb decision. Like,
dumb.
The thing that's different now is this one room gravity doesn't work. Sure, fine.
I mean, you just like, I don't know. It could have been something, but you just open a door and there's just a screaming face there for 30 seconds. And then it just goes away. That would be
weird shit, Chris.
But it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be fucking Event Horizon space. Yep. Instead, it's, you know, it's like, again, it's like, oh, I'm sure it ain't the grab plate and capping. And then what do we see? Issues with gravity. It's like, are we sure it's not the grav plating?
Really, how sure are you?
I blame the grav plating. And Reed, it'll be just fuck that Reed.
I was gonna say poor Reed. That's who the anomaly decides to fuck with. You know, Reed just like he opens his medicine cabinet. There's the screaming head. He's like, morning, morning. reaches in his grip, closes it. It's like, every day. Eventually, the screaming head in his medicine cabinet is his only friend.
Aww.
Just, and then it turns into Archer's head and just yells at him.
Yep.
For his incompetence.
I know it doesn't happen, but I really just want more and more now for there to be an episode where Reed finally just snaps and kicks the shit out of Archer.
I'd be here for that.
Yeah. So for all the things I like about this episode, like, the Zindi interest me so far. They're very Dominion-y, in which it's, you've got, like, the different factions who kind of, like, work together in a room and are separate from the plot. So I'm interested in seeing where they go with this. And I like the our alien friends and our Mako's officers. But the, let's just get stuck in prison again.
Mm-hmm.
And then break out again. And mm-hmm. then a firefight again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Why? Why did it have to be another, like, is this the fourth or fifth?
Oh, we've lost count.
Prison break?
Like, a couple weeks ago, we did a count, and I think at the time it was four, assuming we weren't forgetting any then, so this is five.
Oh my god, yeah. Do something new! Do
nope.
something new!
No!
well,
he agrees.
Speaking of new things, so, if you thought the decontamination chamber horrible bullshit. Well, you're in luck because we're going to see much less decontamination chamber.
Hooray!
Instead, we're going to see sexy massage hour with Trip and T'Pol.
And I know there's going to be
every
so much
episode
more.
For the rest of this season.
Wait, really? This
I don't know
becomes
if it's every,
a thing?
It happens.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of sexy massage.
I had forgotten about this.
How?
Repression.
Probably.
You see that screen grab of T'Pol just hiding her tits because otherwise they're just out. They're just
legitimately,
out. Get her out.
I didn't see that because once that scene started, I just was not paying attention. Like, no, I refuse to give them.
You missed the gratuitous
too busy jacking it.
I just so heard it. Side. I heard it and I was playing a fucking Match 3 game on my phone.
But you at least got to hear the sex noises that she made.
That was deeply upsetting.
Yeah. How much did I yell during that scene, Jake? I
didn't. Yeah, you were unhappy.
I was very unhappy. Just my whole line of my notes is, what the actual fuck, T'Pol? Why do you have to be topless? Who decided this? And the answer is probably Berman.
It's also weird that, like, that Phlox would suggest it's, this treatment.
Yeah, like, Phlox is her pimp now. Like, what is going on?
Fuck Phlox.
Trick.
Yeah, that's what the fuck. Yeah, he's the worst. No redeeming qualities. I was gonna say though, at least you know, like it's so weird. Like on the one hand, they gave it her new uniform, the plunging neckline, which isn't necessary. But at least I feel like maybe she can kind of breathe now. Like
the
it seems a.
Nice. I like the color.
Yeah. Well, actually, I like
better outfit for sure.
Yeah, it's still definitely. You know they should have just given her a fucking uniform, but
I'm not sure if I like the hair more or less, but I do like the new uniform.
Yeah. But I do like.
I think that since she has quit Vulcan, like, why didn't she just get a Starfleet commission? Why isn't she just in a Starfleet uniform now?
Yeah, even if she doesn't have a commission, just at least give her a fucking proper uniform.
These are her civilian clothes.
There we go. I do like though the weird like silver, the blue and silver one with the bands right at the shoulder, because it makes me think of the Futurama like shoulder cups they so frequently have.
Mm.
Yeah, new wig, new outfit, new eyebrows.
Yeah, more Vulcan-y eyebrows.
Yeah, they're much pointier now.
Yeah, I don't know why they weren't like that from the start. Probably
who the
just
fuck
because
knows?
Oh no, she's a lady. We have to make sure she looks pretty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, think about it, like what is it? I think I feel like Kirstie Alley Savick, they really de-emphasized her eyebrows as well. Like it was Robin Curtis's were much pointier.
Well, she also had much fluffier hair, so.
Yeah.
It drew the eye.
And I think Valeris's were pretty sharply angled. But yeah, I think they tried to pull a like subtler one and then realized it just doesn't work.
What did the Romulans have? Are they like the straight
Yeah, they just have just straight Vulcan type eyebrows, which you know, with the TNG style makeup, it kind of follows the ridge a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anything else?
I don't have a ton more notes, except that when they were climbing up that ladder, they definitely dripped piss and shit into each other's mouths.
Well, okay. So here's the thing.
Oh my god.
I'm glad this is back. Hooray.
Like, why didn't the actors really seem to be reacting when they were walking through the pool of piss and shit? Like, nobody was barfing. Nobody was retching.
Yeah, Trip was uncomfortable when he had to lower himself in it, but that was it.
Like, it didn't... You know how they say, like, James Cameron tortures actors by, like, making
them... He nearly kills them a lot.
Yeah, like, making them wade through freezing water and shit. And, like, actors put up with it because it's like, oh, it actually makes the thing look realistic when the...
Oh, you know, like when, in Shuttle Pod 1, when it was actually cold in the Shuttle Pod.
Now, I'm not saying they should have made these actors wander through a pool of piss and shit.
No!
No.
But, I don't know, maybe pump some uncomfortable smells in or, like, do something so that they have, or maybe, you know, they could just fucking act.
Remind
them to act. That you're wading through piss and shit here. You should be, like, really, really not cool with this. You should be reacting. You
should be retching actively.
Like, I could see the Zindi guy, because he's been living in squalor for God knows how long at this point in this mine. So for him, it's just Tuesday.
You might not have a sense of smell.
Yeah, it could have just completely broken down at this point.
Or he never had one.
Or that. But Archer and Trip should definitely be a little more like, ugh.
Yeah, plugging their nose.
Instead, they were like, we're really redefining the term sewage. Ugh.
Yeah, and then they climb up this shaft thing that looks like it should have been physically impossible unless you were on, like, American Ninja Warrior. Physically, how are they climbing this wall?
Maybe it was part of that.
Scott Bakula is a perfect specimen of, I can't even finish.
It was part of that endless survival training they had to do in Australia. They had to do that, like, crazy, like, you know, no... rope rock climbing there that fucking Shatner was doing in 5.
Free climbing.
Yeah, that's what it's called. There we go. Free climbing.
That took me out of it, especially when they had to go back down. I'm like,
yeah.
How are you physically, like, where are your fingers clutching that you're able to do any of this?
Well, see, there were little divots, but yeah,
divots,
like, not
were
much.
Each, like, 2 feet apart. And
yeah, no, it rather belied belief.
I liked when they kind of slid down. That made more sense.
A lot, yes. So, apparently the Zindi homeworld has been kerploded for 120 years.
By who?
Which is weird. Who the fuck knows? I genuinely don't remember. But what annoyed me...
As if they've never been able to move to another planet or something.
Right, well, that's true, but what annoyed me was that Archer is like, oh yeah, planet's been destroyed. Planet has been for decades. And it's like, I mean, okay, you're technically correct, but 120 years, you would say over a century, not decades. Mm. I know I'm just nitpicking at this point, but fuck Archer.
It's worth nitpicking because it is, yeah. It is, it's strange that Kessick would have given them these coordinates if the place is destroyed, because that means he'd never lived there himself, so why does he have these coordinates? Which made me assume, and I'm certain I'm wrong because it would make too much sense, it made me assume that humanoid figure did this, which I'm sure he didn't, because we never hear from him again. Spoilers. Side.
There was a fan theory going around that obviously has never been proven any which way, that Shadow Dude is actually Archer.
It's not played by Archer.
No, but that he would eventually be revealed to have been a future Archer.
Oh, I hate that.
Whoa.
I don't know why he was interfering with everything, but
whatever. Why did he kill all those people? Oh, wait, Archer, right. He's fine with it.
Well, no, he didn't send the sphere. The other faction.
No, but he did. But Shadow Man did instruct the
Zulaban.
Oh, yeah, other. That's true,
to do all kinds of evil shit.
Yeah. It wouldn't have made sense. I don't know if there was any basis for
Daniels
it.
Daniels is Archer's son.
To be fair, that is pretty on brand for Archer.
True. It's Braxton.
Hey.
Braxton is just like, all right. For whatever reason, going after Janeway directly doesn't work. I will just keep any of this from ever happening.
Yes.
And that'll include me, but it's worth it in the end to get rid of Janeway.
All right, shall we move
on? Well, that was a thing that happened. No.
Chris is going to go as, like, Braxton for Halloween one year or something.
Not a terrible idea.
So, at the top of my notes for tops and bottoms.
Oh, we've segued so smoothly, you see.
Well, Jake just said we should move on, and I agree with him.
I'm sick of talking about this show, so.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
Setting aside the animated series, which is its own special kind of bad, this might be the worst season of Star Trek we've had since the first two seasons of TNG.
What hurts me the most is that it started off. I remember our first couple of episodes of season two. We had so much hope.
Oh yeah, we had
hope.
Such hope
yeah.
then. There,
yeah,
we
yep.
did
out strong,
and we were like,
we
"Oh
did.
Well, they found their footing. They figured out how to write for these characters. Hooray!" And then it just plummeted again.
I have to make some audibles to figure out what, because I've got many options for worse, so I have to whittle it down to three live. But literally on the notes next to my top three, one of them is, yeah, why not?
Wow.
As to why it's on the list.
Wow. Oh, that'll be a fun one to write up for the blog, which y'all are following.
So yeah, let's start with tops, because this show doesn't deserve tops.
I love when we start with tops.
My sure fucking why not entry. Dead Stop.
I liked Dead Stop.
It's fine, but it really, the fact that it made the top three is depressing. Like, in any other season, it would have been serviceable. In this show, it's a top three, and that's just such a bummer.
It's because it's from that that beginning of hope. That's yeah. kind of why it, that's why it's there, I bet.
Yeah, you continue. Talk, because it's on my list, too, so I'll talk about it then.
Singularity, because, you know, it's a unique take on space crazies, so sure.
And their acting was cute.
Yeah, it was. It was entertaining. And with the exception of the silhouette scene, Carbon Creek.
Yep, yep.
But fuck the silhouette scene. Yeah, fuck it in every direction.
Was the only thing I remembered about that episode for years, so.
Yeah, that's fucking fair. It's
and
fucking
I'm sure
show.
That's what little boys remember about it for when it first came out.
What are little boys made of?
Hate and horniness.
Snails and horniness, yes.
Next.
I nominate Jake, because he said he has some overlap.
Yeah, so I also said Dead Stop. I'm okay with having put this on my list. I'm not, it's not a begrudging entry, because one of my biggest complaints about this show is how much it just doesn't seem to be doing anything new or creative. And this was an episode that I felt was new and creative and not like anything. Like, there's no like, oh, this was a ripoff of this other episode we saw.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right.
Our later episodes, we said a lot, this is ripping off Dead Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a cool take. And I also like that we never really get an explanation for where the repair station came from or who built it. It's just kind of left as a weird space thing, which I like that.
Yeah.
So I actually legitimately liked this episode. It's on my top list.
Yeah, maybe I'm being unfair to it just because I was working on this right after watching these and I was in a mood.
I also included Carbon Creek.
Hooray!
Which, you know, again, what I felt like was an interesting new take on sort of a Star Trek trope of, you know, the time travel bullshit. But of course, in this case, it's just a story without time travel. It's just we're telling a story, you know, and even with the titties, you know, it didn't ruin the episode for me. So I was okay with that. And yeah. And I liked what it did. I liked that it gave Jolene Blaylock some more stuff to do. She's definitely, I'd say the one highlight of season two has been watching Jolene Blaylock kind of become a better actor.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I never found her very bad.
I think she's good.
I don't know. I feel like she started out pretty weak. But I think she's become better. She's grown on me, at least.
I think she had that problem at first that a lot of people have of just like Vulcans are just blanks, where it's actually, no, there's stuff there, and she's learned to have that like little bit without over egging the pudding kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. She's found the Vulcan nuance.
Yes, there we go. That's the word I wanted.
What's your last one, Jake?
This is my hot take of the list. I said regeneration.
Fascinating. I was wondering if that one would come up.
That is the Borg episode.
It's not that hot of a take. It's actually like the highest ranked episode of the season on IMDb.
Well, that's because audience members like Borg.
Yeah, well, and I said it for a couple reasons. For one, I like Borgs, but also, I don't know, it felt like what a rare case where they legitimately built tension in an episode, even though I didn't really think that anybody was actually in peril. You know, when they were, you know, boarding the ship, I don't know, I felt like there was a good amount of tension, and I frequently criticize this show for having zero tension ever, so I gotta give them props when they do it.
That science team was definitely in peril.
Oh, so they doomed. Were for sure.
So doomed.
All right, Caitlin, I'll rock, paper, scissors you for it.
Can't see me, but I don't. I'll go if you don't want to go,
go ahead.
I don't care.
Get it.
So my top three were Judgment, because Martok.
He was very good.
Ceasefire. I don't remember why.
I'm going to guess Shran and Susie Plaxen.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That is why.
Love that bitch.
And then Dead Stop, because I, for the reason that we've already discussed, I liked the sort of, it's rebuilding itself. Oh, shit. What's the big deal? Where did this come from?
Caitlin's criteria is, do I like the guest stars?
Oh, yeah.
Caitlin's criteria is actually much simpler. It's, do I remember this episode?
Do I remember it, and does remembering it not make me upset?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and good guest stars can make things more memorable as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Going on to my
list. Because that's true, because Ceasefire is definitely not a great episode, but...
It's certainly, we could do much worse than Ceasefire.
Especially in this
and
show.
We will in just a moment, but first...
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got three that'll fit the bill, in my opinion.
So it is a sweep for Dead Stop, because Dead Stop is also on my list.
Woo!
All right.
And again, yeah, it's like Roxanne Dawson's a great computer voice. We know she does it well, because she's done it several times before. Yeah, and just that it feels like a new story that isn't just a recycled thing we've seen a million times, and Enterprise is creatively bankrupt. But I like Dead Stop. I'm shocked. This wasn't your top, Jake. I really like Minefield.
I considered Minefield.
I thought you really liked that one. And also, it's the, you know, it's Reed gets pinned in the leg.
I was going to say, I think getting pegged is a different thing.
It is where Stinky does a boom boom.
Oh, no, Stinky. But I thought his characterization in that episode was so in character for him and so in character for Archer, who I usually am always cross at. But I liked their dynamic in that episode. And it was a... It was a good enough little tease of that I wasn't distracted by all the Romulan shit. I thought it was fine. So I liked that about it. So Minefield's on my list. And my tippy top is Carbon Creek, because it was a great Vulcan story. And it made me like Vulcans because they had more to their characters than just the normal Vulcan shit we see all the time.
And those uniforms were great.
The uniforms are great. And Mestral forever. Love him.
Yeah. I do have an honorable mention. Not a whole episode, but just the fact that in Judgment, Archer is declared legally a nuisance.
Yes.
Good shit.
Shall we hit the bottom of the barrel?
The actual nuisances.
Okay, let me think. Who's getting the chop here? Fuck. Well, all right. Well, at the very least...
Like Ted Allen and do a chop.
One of my bottoms, The Expanse... Just fucking pointless, boring garbage.
What a boring piece of shit, yeah.
That wants to be like setting up all this tension and hype, and it's just like if I had been watching the show live at this point, I'd have been like, I am in no way enthused for what's coming next. Cogenitor, fuck you in every direction, Enterprise. Like, if it had a clearer moral, maybe I'd like it more. Like, it clearly wanted to make me angry, but I'm not sure what it wanted me to be angry about, so fuck 'em. And I guess Night in Sick Bay, because I wanted to throw my fucking phone at the television when I heard the words "doing my breast."
What was that from?
Night in Sick Bay, Archer's Freudian slip when he says he's doing his breast to Paul.
Yeah. Oh, that was all gross. God damn very that gross. Episode.
Yeah, fuck that episode. Fuck all the episodes on my worst list, but that one I have decided makes it.
Yeah, I remember a million years ago during our watch, you were convinced that Vanishing Point would make it all the way to the end because of the rug it pulls out. Oh, it was a dream all along.
It was one of the contenders. But
well, it's funny you should mention it because it is
perfect.
On my bottom.
Hooray!
Excellent.
Because it's a rug pull episode. It's also just, even if it wasn't, it would be stupid and I wouldn't have liked it. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was, you know, it's Horizon isn't on my list, but it almost was because of how it shat on Mayweather, right? Of how it we're finally getting a Mayweather episode and it's this. Well, I felt that way about Vanishing Point and Hoshi.
Yeah.
We're finally getting a Hoshi episode, but
and it's this.
Yeah, but she's like annoying in it. She's whiny. And then it ends up being a completely pointless thing because it was all a dream.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did include Vanishing Point for wasting my fucking time. Another waste of time is going to be Precious Cargo.
Fuck, also a contender.
Yeah. That's fucking awful.
It's terrible. I mean, like the weird like sexual hijinks or like, you know, physical hijinks between Trip and the Creosian princess. Yeah. Was just yeah. Yeah. Another one that I just felt like, why did I take my time to watch this?
Yeah. Yeah, no, again, also
what am
one
I
ones
doing
that,
with my life?
one that was up for consideration. It got more complicated because I didn't like The Expanse, but I didn't truly hate it until we sat here talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So it
well,
was a
last
very
minute switch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and then my third, and again, this is in no particular order, but the third of my list that I will mention, I'm going to give it to Stigma. That is the very uncomfortable not talk about AIDS, but we're talking about AIDS.
And let's also episode. Sexually assault Trip a lot.
Yeah.
And let's
yeah.
take away yeah, all of T'Pol's agency.
So
basically let's just like make it very have a very uncomfortable episode. Let's try to tackle, you know, the AIDS pandemic, you know, 20 years later in a very bad way that doesn't actually say anything. Yeah, I felt about Stigma, I think, kind of the way Chris was feeling about Cogenitor, in that I know it was trying to do something, but it just didn't.
Yeah.
How about you, Caitlin?
Oh, boy. Vanishing Point.
Cool.
Yep.
Piece of shit.
Yep.
Annoying. Poor mm-hmm. Hoshi. WTF. Why was her dad like that? Why is Archer like that? Why yep. is everybody like that? Why did her shirt disappear? Who knows?
Because it was all a dream.
It's Dream Dad, though.
Hate that shit. Precious Cargo. Wow. Gross. Ugh. Nothing else. That's just it. Also, like, could they have got a worse actress?
Yes.
No.
She delivered, like, two lines well.
Yeah, well, a broken clock, etc.
Yeah.
And then I went with Bounty.
Oh, good.
Because I don't remember anything else about Bounty, except that T'Pol
went through
Ponfar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, yeah.
The Ponfar almost put that on my list, but I felt like the A plot was passable enough that it rescued it a little bit.
I actually already made myself forget the B plot again, because I remember looking at the list going, oh yeah, Bounty, that's where Archer's captured. Literally all I remembered. Mm-hmm. Fuck, that is
well,
a bad
I don't know how you forgot,
episode.
Because, like, literally the fucking thumbnail for the episode on the IMDb is, like, T'Pol in full horn mode. It's like, what is happening?
On Paramount Plus, it's just Archer behind bars.
Oh, which we love to see. You love to see it.
Every
yeah,
week.
He keeps getting
we
out.
Love to see it so constantly. Much, they keep showing it to us.
Well, it's good that we love it, then, because otherwise we'd get real sick of it real fast.
I'm glad you wrote up Bounty, because that was going to be my honorable mention, because of the fucking Ponfar nonsense and
yeah,
T'Pol running around in her underwear, and it's just and hitting on Phlox, which is the worst choice. And I was I don't like that about that episode.
You missed it, Caitlin. But I declared last week that this time they've pawned too far.
It finally happened.
Oh, I'm sorry that I missed that. I know. Can you imagine how pissed I was when I like couldn't make it? I was like, I watched that fucking episode for nothing. I'm never getting that time back, and I don't even get to talk about it. Son of a bitch!
Well, you got it in now, so I'm glad, because it
God,
is
what a piece
fucking
of shit. Yep, hate it.
But my actual list are going to be three. We've already brought up all of them before, so here they are. Number three, Stigma. Because, yep, they decide to just take away all of T'Pol's agency. All the men tell her what to do, and I hate that. And I also, I specifically really hate the B plot of that episode. And I know a lot of people, like someone on shitposting recently was like, how did Trip not go fuck Feezal? And I'm like, because he chose
didn't
not
want to.
Yeah, like, he didn't want to. Like,
just because someone is attractive doesn't mean you want to fuck them. Doesn't mean you're going to fuck them. And Trip didn't want to, so he didn't. And I just find it very upsetting that this woman is constantly sexually assaulting him all episode long, and yet somehow Trip is the one who's made up to be a deviant, and I don't get
and,
it.
And not to mention that, like, that's the hilarious B-plot to, like, this really fucking actually serious,
right.
fucked up A-plot. Like,
absolutely.
It's just so tonally dissonant or something.
Did not fit in that episode at all.
Not one bit.
No.
Yeah, especially since it builds on from Fusion, which we talked about last season and was a hot flaming mess. So yeah, Stigma. Oh, God, hate it. My other two, A Night in Sick Bay. Oh, God, garbage. And Archer is the worst. He lets his dog piss on things and then gets mad about it. just all of that is fucking stupid.
And the dog wasn't even a dog most of the time. It was a fucking puppet.
Puppet dog. And Tippy Tippy Top, Precious Cargo. God, we've already done this, guys. We did this so many times, and it's gross every time.
And it's never been good. Stop trying. You will never make a version of this episode that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
So safe, the Chris.
Yeah, and the actress was also garbage, so great.
So bad.
Real bad.
We have such a great variety of bad.
Yep, Enterprise should be commended for its devotion to being terrible.
So bad. It really is astounding just how different it is after having watched better shows.
How different, and yet when it tries to be the same, they still fail.
So hard. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's just... What I'm looking forward to, I think, in season three is not so much, you know, the 9/11 Archer doing what it takes to get the job done stuff, but the originality. Because I'm thinking ahead to certain episodes that I know are coming up where I'm like, okay, they do something new here. They do, like, if I'm remembering it well, and I could be falling into the same trap as Chris, where it's just like, the last time I watched this was several years ago, but my hope is that we'll find that there'll be some diamonds among the rough.
At this point, I'm just looking forward to being done with this era of Trek and moving on to the streaming era.
But even if we just find a cubic zirconium, even I would take, you know, it doesn't have to be a diamond.
Gold.
It could just
be really.
Yeah, but before we get to the streaming era, we have to wade through the shit that's the Abrams era.
Oh, right. 09. We have to do the Kelvin universe.
At least it's only three movies, and frankly, I find two of them entertaining.
Yeah, I like. What do you mean? There were only two. It was just Star Trek and Beyond, right? I don't remember anything else.
I fucking wish.
Yeah, me too. I haven't seen Into Darkness since we saw Into Darkness in the theater.
Speaking of Star Trek, does 9/11?
Mm.
Oh God, but that's still a ways off. Next week. What the fuck is next week? Anomaly. Extinction. I remember neither of them. But hey, we're talking about the universe's favorite goddamn whipping boy, Miles Smiley O'Brien.
Before it was Reed, it was O'Brien.
I thought you meant he was going to be in the episode. I was like, what? No. And then I was like, no, wait a second.
No.
He'll be our spotlight.
That would be so nice, wouldn't it?
But Extinction, if it's the one I think it is, we're in for a rough time.
Oh, no.
I
don't
fucking doubt it. I remember neither. I don't know.
Go in with the open mind and let it get destroyed.
Like poor Chief O'Brien's mind in that one episode.
Excellent.
So yeah, come suffer with us. Continue to slog through Enterprise until we get to hopefully better things. I guess your opinion will vary. Follow us on Facebook, on Tumblr, on your favorite podcasting application, etc., etc. Until next week, this has been Chris.
This has been Ames.
This has been Caitlin.
And this is always Jake.
Hades was right next to me, and I could only see his little stubby tail. Aww. And whenever I clapped, his little nubbin went beep, like twitched.
Oh, bless his little heart. He's his little tail. I love him.